Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shari. We are learning Lilui Nishmas Miriam Frund, Miriam Bas Chai Mitzchak, Alaha Hashem. Her Neshama should have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning. So we're on page 93 of the second Sefer, please. Okay. And last time we were speaking about Lo Tov Heyos Adam Levado. It is not good for man to be alone. Well, we're not speaking about the Sefer, speaking about man alone. And we noted that the Sefer points out, well, he starts speaking about this concept of being alone, and it's not good for man to be alone. And we quoted that there are two times in the Torah where it says Lo Tov, only twice. One is in regard to Adam's creation. I'm just recapping for a minute here. And one is in next week's Parsha, in Parsha's Yisro. The only other time it says Lo Tov is in next week's Parsha, when Yisro comes and he says to Moshe, Lo Tov Hadavar Asher Ato Se'avigai remembered, Ma'aval Tiba Gam Ata Gam Ha'am. You can't judge the people alone. Adam was physically alone. Moshe was lonely, even though he was surrounded by people. So even though we use the terms interchangeably, sometimes alone and lonely really are not the same thing. So with that as a very brief recap, let us go to the top of page 93. We got through the first paragraph. Let's read it again quickly together. Blinator. It is written, it is not good for man to be alone. This is the pasuk from Bereishis. I'll make for him a complementary helpmate. Ezer. Kenegdo, someone to compliment him. This is how man is made. It is not good for him to be alone. Everyone has an inner need to connect to something. You know, perhaps that's why we have taken social networking to the extreme. Welcome. Perhaps that's why we have taken social networking to the extreme, because we feel such a need. I didn't think of this last time when we went through this paragraph, but man feels such a need to connect that it almost becomes like an addiction to connect to other people. We don't know when to take a step back and say, even though it's not good to be alone and it's not good to be lonely, there are times where you do need to be alone and where you do need to feel that sense of loneliness, which is going to lead to longing to Hashem, for Hashem, which is what he says. But if you use so many other things to fill the void, if you use people to fill that void always, always, always to the excess, then there's no room for Hashem in there. How distracting. Think about it. How distracting is social networking? There's almost no time for anyone else. You know, sometimes you go out and you look at a table and you see three or four people at the table and everyone is what? Literally, you see it. I said to my husband, look, I remember where we just were. I know we were just out a couple weeks ago at a restaurant. It was actually lunchtime. We both were at home. We got away. We went to the restaurant and there was a table behind us of a father and a mother and a child in the high chair, but it wasn't like a baby, like a two-year-old or something. And I knew they could have been on the phone with the doctor. It could have been work emergency. I'm just saying how it looks from the outside. It should be a Mr. Haskell for me. That the father was looking down his phone, the mother's looking down his phone, and the kid's sitting in the middle just looking all around. Sometimes we become so focused on connecting that we forget that sometimes we do need to be alone, which is what the Mechaber is going to get to. Everyone has an inner need to connect to something. Each person has moments. You know, we all have inner needs. The question is finding the right balance. So we do have an inner need to connect, but sometimes we, especially society today, takes it to the extreme. I think that's true of anything. Man and woman have an innate need to be together, but society, Rahman al-Tsan, promiscuous society, takes that need and makes it totally inappropriate. Just like connecting to people is a need, but it's totally inappropriate. Or someone who has an eating disorder has a need to eat because you have an innate need to eat, except that you can take it to the extreme. So I'm just thinking about as I go through it, every disorder really stems from an innate need of man that is taken to an extreme. And does that make sense? I'm asking you. I didn't think of when I was preparing.
I wouldn't agree with you completely about every disorder.
Say it again.
I wouldn't agree with you on every disorder, but I think a lot of disorders.
Many, not only social.
Well, they're stemming from anxiety or.
Okay, so when somebody is mentally ill, I'm not talking about someone who's really, Khalida, mentally ill, who needs medical attention. That is by itself in its own category. But I don't think we would define most people who are obsessed with social networking as mentally ill. I don't think so. Maybe, but I don't know. I don't think so. comes from an innate need, but it's gone to an extreme. Every person has moments, and for some these are long periods of time, in which he may be in the company of other people, yet inside he feels lonely, and we spoke about that. That's the Moshe Rabbeinu category, right? Lo tava davar sha'ata osa. There's millions of people, but you feel lonely. Everyone is affected by this to some degree. For most, this is a rare occurrence. On the other hand, there are some poor souls whose whole life is like this, but this does not apply, but this does apply to each person in one way or another. I wanted to quote from the Henny Malchus biography again, very short, one paragraph that's very powerful, on Henny's ability to make people who were either alone or lonely or a combination of both feel that they had worth and that they should not have that sense of loneliness. So the author writes this. The author is Sari Yocheved Rigler. So I'm quoting her. So when she says, it's Sari Yocheved Rigler. Of all the hundreds of stories I've heard about Henny Machlis, the most powerful is the shortest. She wrote this book. She included hundreds of stories in here. And she says, this is the most powerful example. An extremely disturbed woman used to come to Henny, like a freak in a circus sideshow. It's not. That's what the woman writes. I know, whatever. I'm just...
And I wonder what that lady ever reads this and sees what she wrote about her.
Say it again.
She wouldn't see that it's herself.
Say it again.
I said, I wonder if the lady reads, like the people who they're written about read the story and say, oh, I'm the freak in the circus sideshow. Like, that's...
Okay, let's just say an extremely disturbed woman used to come to Henny. Rabbi Machlis described her as, quote, one of the most troubled people who ever came to this house, and they had many troubled people. A few months after Henny died, the woman came back for a Shabbos meal. She smelled, and no one wanted to sit next to her. Rabbi Machlis invited her to come sit next to him, and this goes back to the working to make people not be alone and not feel lonely. During the meal, she said to Rabbi Machlis, your wife told me that I'm very beautiful, and your wife told me not to commit suicide. That's the end. It's very short. It's one paragraph. Let us imagine a person is alone late at night. No one is home. He feels lonely. What does he do? So in the olden days, he would try and call someone, page 93. Today, he would on his phone. So he immediately tries to call someone. Or today, you would pick up your phone. And I don't mean the telephone. I mean your smartphone. It's hard to be alone, really. I think it's an epiphany. Perhaps that's what it comes from. What are even the names of the things? I'm trying to think. Twitter means to talk. Twitter. Tweet
birds.
Also. What?
It's birds.
Birds.
Yeah.
Okay,
birds,
so because, but I'm saying because of the chirping and tweeting. And what about Facebook? You want to interact with someone else's face? What other ones are there?
Instagram.
I think
in an instant, you're connected with somebody. Yeah. Instant.
To send a telegram, to send a gram.
Yeah, it's like a telegram, but it's an Instagram, yeah.
Okay.
It's a fast speed of connection that you can never be alone. Yeah, what did you want to say?
I think it also like proves that you're not alone. Like, people use social media to show off what they've been doing and who they've been hanging out with. It's not just that I don't feel alone, it's also proving to someone that I'm not alone.
Very nice.
I find that like it's
maybe it's proving to yourself, and I don't mean you, I mean maybe it's proving to oneself that they're not alone, never mind to other people. Like on Facebook, you have friends, right? However many friends you have is
right.
So if you have more friends, I don't know, yes, correct? If you have more friends, then the more not alone you are. So maybe that's also what people want to prove to themselves. I don't know.
Right.
What did you say?
Well, she's saying that like in reality, though, it's the opposite.
Right, that's exactly the point, but it helps us fill this need in a very superficial way. Let's imagine a person is alone late at night, no one is home, so he feels lonely. What does he do? He tries to call someone. So whether you try and call someone or you pick up your phone and connect a friend on Facebook, Lamaisa, you don't want to be alone. Why? It's hard to be alone. Because it is, it's true. It's hard to be alone with your thoughts, and it's hard to feel that sense of loneliness, and it's hard to feel so self-aware. So we want to do things to distract ourselves from perhaps those feelings of... those frightening feelings within ourselves. So therefore, we want to connect. True, it's not good for men to be alone, but your real companion should be Hashem. You know when kids say, who's your best friend? Who's your best friend? Who's your best friend? So really, the Maisa, what he's saying, and by the way, Hashem is called friend, all different words. I'm Re'acha v'Re'avicha al-Tazov, and Rashi says, Re'acha when the convert comes to Hillel and says, convert me on one foot. First he goes to Shammai, and Shammai pushes him away with a staff. And then he comes to Hillel, convert me on one foot. And Hillel says he will. Shammai is the like more machmir, the stricter. Shammai says, I can't do it. He pushes him away. Hillel says, okay. So Hillel says, what is hateful to your friend, what is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. What is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. So I'm smiling because that was like stage. It was perfect for our conversation. But it's hateful to you, don't do it to your friend. And Rashi on the Gemara says there, your friend is a Kosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rashi says. Re'acha re'avicha. Al ta'azov. Rashi says your friend is Hashem. So Hashem is actually called your friend. Kol dodi dofeik. Who is knocking at your door? Hashem is described as your beloved. So Hashem is the one who should be your best friend. You could tell him anything. My brother says to me, if you need to talk to somebody, go talk to Hashem. If you need to talk to someone, go talk to Hashem. Your real companion should be Hashem. So it's not an exaggeration. Chazal do call him our friend. Whenever you feel lonely, you should recognize this truth. It may not always be possible to act upon it. So the first stage is, even if you can't act upon it, at least to recognize when alone at home and feeling lonely, you should not rush to the phone. You should not rush to Facebook or Twitter, whatever they're called, Instagram, but rather stop and think, why did Hashem create me? Why did Hashem create in me this feeling of loneliness? After thinking, you will understand. Loneliness is a means for realizing one cannot live here alone. So that's true. That's what the pasuk tells us, al pipsha, man can't live here alone. But the way to solve the problem is not the superficial method. Hashem wants us to solve the problem by connecting to Him. And think how much more time everybody in society would have without this. We would be doing other things. Like, what did we do in the olden days?
Went to sleep early.
Went to sleep early.
Read
a book. Maybe you read a book. Maybe you actually talk to somebody in real life. Like, you go to restaurants all the time, and all the people at the table are looking down. Or, you know, they have something texting and walking now, that they're saying the texting and walking should be banned because when you're on your phone walking, it's just as dangerous as driving. What did we used to do? You just crossed street, you just didn't do anything. Now you can't go anywhere without being connected. So there are two extremes here. One extreme, we don't want to be utterly alone. So therefore, we go to the extreme of being overly connected. Yes, you're both smiling. Yes.
No, I'm laughing because I couldn't do math homework tonight. And I WhatsApped everybody I knew and I got a math app. And it shows you exactly how to do math homework. And I was just blown away because we didn't have this when I was...
But that's not a bad thing.
But then I was like, you know, the kids, they're so... It's like so instant. Everything is so instant. I'm like, who's going to make apps of the future? And like, I guess the apps will make an app for the future.
But see, finding a way to do math homework, I think, especially for someone who's not strong in math... me, is a positive. There are many positives. There's sharing Torah, there's listening to Shiurim, there's people who are hearing impaired give you the ability to connect in a way that you could not connect before. I'm not saying everything's bad, but we do have to see the point that sometimes when we have spare time, putting in quotes, instead of focusing on our connection with Hashem or something ruchnius, or picking up a Tehillim or picking up a Chumash, instead we pick up this. Yeah. Abigail.
I lost my train of thought.
Oh, sorry. Okay, you don't know what you want to say?
I don't remember.
I'll come to you. When it comes to you, interrupt me. So interestingly, I came across this when I was preparing for Parsha Shiur, and I didn't quote in Parsha because I knew what we spoke about last week, which was not good to be alone. How's it going? I saw it on Monday.
It's different.
Oh, it's different?
Sorry, I didn't.
You didn't like the colors on Monday that they sent you.
Oh, you're right. You did say it. I forgot. Yeah, I changed.
Ah, beautiful. On Monday, it was blank.
This is the right color.
Very nice.
They gave me hand.
It was like fuchsia.
Yeah.
So when I was preparing for Parsha class, I came across this, and it was very relevant. Alas, Yatha D'Shmaya, we discussed that, the guy was saying how when you come across sources, Hashem is really helping you, because it was really for this class. Because last week we already started to speak about alone. So in this week's parasha, we have the introduction of the man that sustained us for 40 years in the desert, according to one opinion. I just thought again last night, for parasha Torah, what bracha did they make on the man? Hamotzi lechem min hashamayim. Another opinion is that they made, no, I'm not making a joke, I'm serious. Another opinion is that they said, shahakol nehi abidbara. Okay. So many of the halachos of Shabbos, if you pay attention to the Kriya Satorah this week, we're not going to go through this in depth right now, but many of the inyanim and halachos and customs and hachana for Shabbos actually come down with the man. The introduction of the man is actually more about Shabbos than the man. Okay, that's it for today's class. Anyway, so when I was preparing my parasha class, I came across this. So the pasuk says, "Ru'u ki Hashem nasan lechem haShabbos. See, Hashem gave you Shabbos. Therefore, He gives you on the sixth day lechem yomayim. Man fell double on the sixth day. Shvu ish tachtav al yetze ish mimekombo b'yom hashvi. So what should you do on the seventh day? You don't have to go out and gather. Every morning you had to go out into the desert, and when the dew lifted, what would be under the dew? This thin wafer, like clear, was like the color of bidloach, which is crystal. We don't exactly know what the man looked like. At least I don't know what the man looked like. Some sort of thin, clear, crisp wafer, honey, something. These are all terms the Torah uses to describe the man, and they would gather man. How much did they gather? Exactly how much you needed for that day? Omer lo gogolos. And Moshe says, we come to Yom Shishi. You should have lechem mishnah. You should have Shteya Omer Lagogos, two Omers per head. Why? Because you need one for today and one for Yom HaShvi. Because no man is going to fall on, Moshe says, Shabbos Kodesh LaHashem. No man is going to fall on the holy day of Shabbos Kodesh LaHashem. But the pasuk says is, Shvu Ish Tachtav. Very interesting. Each man should sit, how is Tachtav? In his place. Man should not go out on the seventh day. So what do you think, since I'm bringing it to you in this class already, your mind should be going, what do you think now the Rav Salvechik is going to speak about?
Being alone on...
But you see how it comes from those words. We're now going to have an insight into being alone, dafka, from these words. But see how it comes out. You should sit in your place. No man should go out from his place on the seventh day. Okay. So Rav Salvechik says as follows, working man is always, for 6 days a week, you are in Rishus HaRabim. What does it mean, Rishus HaRabim? You're like in the public domain, your public property. For 6 days, you're always with people. He is manufacturing, he is trading, he's exchanging goods, services. He's talking, arguing, fighting, helping. He is always italicized with somebody. For 6 days, we are never alone. No wonder Chava, and he refers back to the creation of Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, Adam and Isha. No wonder Isha was created the very instant man was charged with the task. When Hashem says, "Ve'anichei b'gan Eden la'avde u'lishamra," man, Hashem put Adam in the Garden of Eden to work and to guard the Garden of Eden. Chava, Isha, was created. Why? Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden. He should work. A working being needs help. You don't work by yourself. Think about it. Most, if not all, industries require a relationship with people. Even an artist who works alone needs someone to buy his pieces of art. Everyone works with interaction with other people. Adam was put in the Garden of Eden to work, and he needs somebody to interact with. People who retire, says Rav Salvechik, from business or from a profession, quickly discover they're unneeded. They're lonely. They're abandoned by society. The world passes them by. It's very true when, especially in a society like ours where people are defined by what they do, by what they work. What's your work? So if you don't have work, then what are you? That's not how we look at people. That's not the Torah outlook of people. But in a society where so much is defined by what do you do, so if you don't do, then what are you? If man stops working, then the community has no need for him. Without work and responsibility, communal ties gradually disappear. For 6 days, man is connected. He is italicized with other people. And on Shabbos, Hashem says, stop working. Retreat. Rest. In other words, withdraw from that society of being with people on Shabbos. Man retreats from the thou, which is the you, into privacy and aloneness. On Shabbos, the individual gains supremacy over the community. The whole 6 days focuses on the community, the society, the workforce, the people you are with. And on Shabbos, Shivu Ish Tachtav, Al Yetze Ish Mimekomo. It's each man in his place. By Yom HaShvi, he withdraws from conquest and acquisition. Man withdraws from co-workers, from partners, from associates. He withdraws into the mysterious existence of the lonely I. But this is a positive. Hashem says, withdraw from the hustle and the bustle and the busy and the people into the lonely I existence. Man remains alone, and he should experience Shabbos as a lone being. But what is Rav Salvechik speaking about? Because we're obviously not alone on Shabbos. and we want to be osek in echnasos archim, and we go to shul and berav amhadros melech. We're not really absolutely alone. Yeah.
To connect to Hashem, not with other people.
What are we talking about? Alone, being alone with Hashem. On Shabbos, God tolerates no competition. He doesn't want a competition, a kaviyach, so to speak. And how apropos that we put this away on Shabbos, where you can't use this, where you can't connect with other people. It's symbolism, it's indicative of being alone with Hashem. He does not want to share man with anybody else. Therefore, he tells men, retreat from society. And then he quotes from the Seres Hadibus, which is in next week's parasha. The seventh day is Shabbos to Hashem your God. Hold on, second parashah. I want to quote the exact Lashem, but I see him enough by heart because we know these. Yom Hashvi Shabbos Lashem Elokecha. Therefore, lo ta'aseh kol malacha. Malacha is what connects you to other people. Malacha is the bridge that connects you to society. Malacha is the bridge that makes you become busy, distracted. No, the seventh day. Everything belongs to Hashem. Listen to this. Listen. On Shabbos, man must cease to be a slave to his work. Discontinue being a servant to society. Be exclusively mine. I'm going to repeat that line. Shabbos is the day where we cease to be a slave to our work. Discontinue being a servant to society. We're slaves to this. We're slaves. We're enslaved. Be exclusively mine. The idea of Shabbos, quote, is man's aloneness. It's a metaphysical state of being, because physically you're still with people. Do you understand? It's a metaphysical aloneness. It's something that's above physical aloneness. It's beyond physical aloneness. It's deeper than physical aloneness, because you really are with people. But while you're with people, you withdraw from society, from the workforce, from the hustle, from the bustle, from the Facebook, from the sharing, from the friends, from the wall. I don't know what else they have there. The idea of Shabbos is man's aloneness. And quote, ready? And if man is alone, man is with God. That's exactly what the author's saying. I was just preparing for Parsha Shir, and I came across this because Shir was about man and Shabbos and what we learn about Shabbos from the man. And I read this. I said, this isn't for Parsha. This is for Shari. Because what did we learn about last week? Two times it says Lo Tov. One is Lo Tov. Alone is not good, except that we're learning a different dimension based on exactly what the Mechaber says and this piece by Rav Salvechik based on Shabbos. You should feel alone to a degree with God. I'm going to repeat the last couple lines. Everything belongs to Hashem. Cease to be a slave to work. Discontinue being a servant to society. Be exclusively mine. The idea of the Sabbath, of Shabbos, is man's aloneness. And if man is alone, man is with God. The Kedusha Shabbos, that means the holiness of Shabbos, the charisma of Shabbos expresses itself in the return of man to himself and to Hashem. That's the source of Kedusha. So not only do we return to Hashem on Shabbos, but who are we supposed to return to? Ourselves. It relates to what you said before as well. Stop sharing with everybody else what you did. Just be with yourself with what you did. Severance of the individual from working society establishes a permanent communion with God. Severance of the individual, of the work of the individual from working society. Now we understand it makes so much sense why in the Aseres Hadibros, when it commands us to keep Shabbos, the first thing it says is, Yom HaShvi Shabbos L'Hashem Elokecha, on the seventh day you're God's. Lo sa'asa kol malacha. If you're doing work, you're automatically distracted from the Ribono Shel Olam. It's very hard to be focused on the Ribono Shel Olam if you're focused around on everybody around you. And it lists all the people who should not do work. You, your son, your daughters, your slave, your maidservants. Sort of indicative of that's what you should withdraw from. Again, physically and emotionally. We should be with our family. But we have to remember that ultimately Shabbos is a day alone with Hashem. Hashem does not tolerate competition on Shabbos. And that is Shvu ish tachtav al yetze ish mimekomo means so much now. He shouldn't leave.
Oh, okay.
What?
Makomo
Hashem. Shvu ish tachtav. Beautiful. Sit in your own place. Notice it's in the Lashon Yachi. Tachtav, his place. Al yetze, I love it. Al yetze ish mi mekomo. Who's it talking about? That's one of the names for Hashem. Amakom. He is the place. Every Shavu is the Lashon of Shabbos. Ish tachlev al yetzi ish mimakomo. On Shabbos, don't leave from Hashem. Mimkomo, hamakom, hamakom. Hashem is the makom. Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikomo shel olam, ve'ein ha'olam mikomo. He is the place of the world. The world is not his place. So that's even better. Al yetzi ish mimakomo, be'yamashvi. On Yamashvi, don't leave from the makom. Who's the makom? Ribbono shel olam. On the seventh day, you're his. Yeah.
Maybe even say
tachav
from underneath Hashem.
Very nice. Shavu ish, beautiful. Even better. Shavu is Shabbos, Shabbat, rest, sit, dwell, be in your place. Ish, every man, tachtav, dwell under Hashem. Even better. Every man should dwell under Hashem. Al yetzi ish mimakom. Oh, it's unbelievable. Man should not leave the presence of the makom, meaning the Ribbono shel olam, v'yam hashvi. Beautiful. Beautiful. Anything else on that, ladies? No? Okay. Therefore, second to last paragraph on page 93, after thinking, you will understand that loneliness is a means for realizing one cannot live here alone. The way to solve the problems of loneliness is not the superficial method, and I think that passage helps us very much with some very many deep insights. Hashem wants us to solve the problem by connecting to Him. And that's why we really have the day of Shabbos every week. It comes around every single week. It's a day to recharge, so to speak. How could you recharge if you disconnect? Exactly how? By not leaving from under Hashem. I think now we will remember this pasuk, I hope, off by heart. Al shvu ish tachtov, al yetze ish mimakomo bayam hashvi. It's unbelievable. And you sit at home, see? Shvu ish tachtov, al yetze, and you feel lonely. You must first remember loneliness derives from the fact that the soul does not feel Hashem's presence. So what is he saying now? If you are still in a place, on a level where you feel lonely, where you feel a need to fill a void, it means you don't feel Hashem enough. Because if you really felt Hashem enough, you wouldn't feel lonely. Because if you're in a time and you feel alone, but then Hashem is there to take the place, you must collect your thoughts and say to yourself, I know Hashem has brought me to this feeling of loneliness, so I would connect to Him. I also know I'm not yet on the level. Hashem wants me to get to that level. He's not allowing me to forget the truth. That's why He's constantly arousing in me the feeling of loneliness. So perhaps that feeling will, that when it is aroused in us, will cause us to turn to Hashem. And this way I'll be inspired. I remember the only way to feel the inner emptiness is through Him. So I want to tell you something. And ladies, are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you something. And I'll tell you, someone shared this with me. Rahman al-San, the person who shared this insight, just to give an appreciation of the godless of this insight, she lost a child. This person lost a child, Rahman al-San. A young child. And she shared this insight with me. And she said one of the things that helped her so much is the fact that when someone comes to visit the mourner and to comfort the mourner, the name they use for Hashem is Hamakom, which really relates to that pasuk unbelievably. Our Salvechik Davka speaks about not being alone with Hashem based on the pasuk where the name, where the word Makom is used. And she told me that one of the things that helped her was that the fact that the pasuk we say to the mourner invokes the name, it could be any name of Hashem. We don't say Hashem Yenachem Eschem or Elohim, even though that wouldn't be, that's din. Hamakom Yenachem Eschem, because Hamakom is place. And she said, when someone is in such a situation, there's a huge void, an undescribable void. Something needs to fill the place. Something needs to fill the void. It's the makom, it's the place of Hashem who fills that void of loneliness. That huge void, what can fill? Only one thing, she said, can fill it. And that's the makom. And that's why dafka, the word used, the name used for Hashem in such a situation is the name that also means place. Because a person is left with a void. Think of an empty space. You need something to fill an empty space. You need a place to fill an empty space. It's a place of Hashem, so to speak, the space of Hashem, the being of Hashem that fills that empty place. And she told this to me, and she said that this is something that helped her, and it gives her chizuk, understanding that the only thing that could fill that loneliness is Hamakom. Yes? Therefore, that's related to the last sentence of page 94, top paragraph. I'll be inspired and remember that the only way to fill the inner emptiness is through him. The ultimate inner emptiness is such a case when, Rahman al-Atslan, when there's the ultimate loss, that's an absolute emptiness that can never be refilled. You can't refill that with Facebook. You can't refill that with social networking. You can't fill that emptiness with other people either. How are you possibly going to fill that? And by the way, that gives us Allah ha'ara, I hope, for the next time we should never have to be Menachem Avil. But for the next time we are Menachem Avil, it should give us an insight. What's really the bracha that you're giving to the mourner? It's a mitzvah d'oraisa to go visit. What's a mitzvah v'alach the b'drachav sota yadalat alaf? The mitzvah v'alach the b'drachav, the Gemara says, ma'hu anichum avelim af ata Hashem appeared to Yitzchak after the death of Avram Avinu, and so too you should be Nichum Avelim. So what we have to understand, or what we have to know, or what we have to be cognizant of when we go to visit the mourners, the bracha you're really giving them. What you're really saying is you have this tremendous void, and this tremendous hole, and this tremendous loneliness, and it can't be filled by anything superficial. The only thing that could possibly fill the void is the makom, is the place that takes the space. Shu ish tachtav, al yetze ish mimakomo. I love it. Okay. On this pasuk, anything on that? Okay. On the pasuk, Vayivater from Vayishlach, very famous pasuk, is when Yaakov is having the fight on the river Yabok. And the pasuk says, Vayivater Yaakov, what's the next word? Levado ad olos l'shachar. Yaakov remained, here we go once again, alone, levad, till the morning sun rose, vayaveik ish imo, and the man wrestled, and that's where ad olos l'shachar is. He moves his family and his pachim ktanim over the river, and he finds that he's all alone. And Takla, a man wrestles with him because he's alone. There's a well-known comment of Chazal. By the way, I never knew before I prepared. So if you don't know it, okay, maybe it's not well-known to me. But I did look up, I want to tell you something. I have Medrash Rabbah at home, and I looked it up because I wanted to see if there was more in Medrash Rabbah than he just quotes, and then I would have brought a Medrash Rabbah and told you inside. I'll tell you the Lashon of Medrash Rabbah. Okay, before we look inside the Mechaber, the Medrash says, Ma HaKosh Baruch Hu Kasuv Bo V'Niskav Hashem Levado. You know, it's a song, V'Niskav Hashem Levado Bayamu, Hashem will be alone on that day. It's a pasuk from Yishayahu, Perek Beis. Just like it says about Hashem, V'Niskav Hashem Levado, V'Niskav Hashem Levado, it says by Hashem, Hashem will be alone, Af Yaakov, Vayivater Yaakov Levado. So too Yaakov was left alone. So in other words, I'm telling you that the Medrash does not say more than the Mechaber brings us down here. That's what the Medrash says. It makes a comparison. Hashem is described as being Levad. Yaakov Avinu is also described as being Levad. What do we learn from here? That is to say, the alone of Yaakov, says the author, is connected to the alone of Hashem. Notice, that's really an oxymoron. God's aloneness is connected to Yaakov's alone. Isn't that an oxymoron? If something's connected, you're not alone. But in this, do you understand? Connection and alone are the opposites of each other. But in this case, they are connected. How are they connected? Through levad. Through aloneness, you are connected. That's why, listen, that happens to the Metzorah. What is the punishment of the Metzorah, besides the fact that he gets tzaras? Badad yeshev michutz l'machana moshavau. Michutz l'machane moshavo, al yetze ish mimakomo, shvu ish tachtav, shvu set. One second, please. Vadad yeshev michutz l'machane moshavo. His dwelling is outside of the machane. The one who's with Hashem is shvu ish tachtav, sits under God. The one who's punished with aloneness is michutz l'machane moshavo. He's outside the camp. Are you with me? It's like he's outside the machane shechina. The opposite. The one who's with Hashem, shvu ish tachtav, sits under Hashem. The one who's punished with aloneness is away from Hashem, so to speak. So what does he do? He sits alone. He's alone. The Metzorah, the point is the Metzorah sits badad, alone. He's disconnected from people. But in this case, what actually connects Yaakov and Hashem are their aloneness. It's interesting. They're connected through being alone. The pasuk states, and this is a pasuk that Bilam said, "Hein am levadad yishkan uvagayim lo yischashe." Very pasuk, very beautiful. "Hein am levadad." Is everyone with me? V'niskav Hashem levado, vayivater Yaakov levado. "Hein am levadad yishkan." They're all alone. Who's alone? Hashem is alone. Yaakov is alone. Knesset Yisrael is alone. Once the alone of the Jew connects to the alone of the Creator, then there's real companionship. Isn't that unbelievable? You're utterly alone. Hashem kaviyachal is utterly alone. Two utterly alone beings connect, and then there's no more aloneness. The connection diffuses the aloneness, and then there's real companionship. Interesting, companionship is a word that you would use to describe friends. Once again, Hashem is described as our friend. Yeah.
It's just interesting because in order to really connect to somebody, you do that when it's like in private, like you're alone. You can't really connect to people in public places, with lots of, like in a big party. And you really, it's more of a one-on-one, an intimate type of a thing.
Very nice. True connection really only happens when two people are alone. Very nice. I like that. Like, I'll give you an example. If we're having company on Shabbos, so sometimes people say once they're inviting company on Shabbos, once they're cooking, anyway, they'll just invite three or four families because once they're cooking, it's not, I'm not saying bad about it, I'm telling you what I do, different. It's also partly because of my hearing loss. I can't follow. There are three families at the table. I will just sit there quiet. I can't talk to anybody because I can't hear what's going on. But it's a really good example. In order to connect, you actually need to diminish the number of people. The more alone you are with another person, the more you can connect. Isn't that cool? Connection comes from being alone. That's unbelievable. This one's alone, that's what's alone, and then they can connect. That's unbelievable. So the point is that I will never have three families over Afro Shabbos, because I'll be totally lost. Okay, but my point is that if it's just one person, I could sit across the table and look at her. It's a very good point. Very nice. If you merely allow feelings of loneliness to dissipate, in other words, make them useful. Don't just let them dissipate. Do something with those feelings or try to dispel them. Look at this. Ha! What did I just say? By getting together with other people. So if you're looking to fill your void with people instead of hamakom, you might not be alone, but you will remain lonely. I'm going to say it again. If you look to fill that void, I'm jealous.
You feel left out.
I feel alone right now. I feel very left out.
I think we're gonna all have to get.
Can I teach and do this? Are you all gonna come next week with us? Kol kavod. No, for real. Kol kavod. Also, it's beautiful. They're infused with the Rei Torah. If you try and fill your void of loneliness by making yourself be surrounded with people, you will not be alone, but you will remain lonely. Because you're just filling yourself with superficial things. But you really need to fill yourself with this hamakom. Only the place can take the place of what you have lost or what's missing. It's beautiful. If you merely allow feelings of loneliness to dissipate, in other words, you don't use them, or you try to dispel them by getting together with other people without considering why you feel lonely, you've missed the whole point of the feeling of loneliness. Hashem put an innate feeling within us. We have a need to eat, we need to eat. We have a need for companionship, we have a need to use the facilities, we have a need to be clean, we have certain needs. So don't just push away the need. Why is it there? What is it telling me? What does Hashem want from me? He wants me to find him. Hashem is giving you a gift, a reminder. No, the reason you feel lonely is that you don't feel me. When you will truthfully feel me, you will never again feel lonely. So I actually want to tell you two things, but I'm going to start with this one because this one is even more powerful. You will never again feel lonely if you feel Hashem. The Salvatrix says as follows. I once heard the following story from my father. Then he starts with a little joke. He said it was most probably a true story. Since the stories transmitted in our family from generation to generation are mostly true, they're not like Hasidic stories where miracles happen. Then the audience laughs. These stories, which have been told and passed down from generation to generation, are true. They don't deal with miracles, but with natural phenomena. Have you heard of, I'm asking you, have you ever heard of the famous Gerd Sadak, Count Potocki?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'll tell you something cool. When my son went to Poland almost 2 years ago, he took a picture. He's like, this is the palace of Potocki. I said to him, Potocki, I wanted to pull out this story. I knew about it from this story. I couldn't believe he went to the big palace, the residence of this famous family. So it's a very famous person. You could still go today. My son took a picture and you could see their huge dwelling places. The father, why? The father of this famous Polish count was a leading aristocrat. Almost half of Lithuania belonged to this Potocki because he served as a feudal lord, a very wealthy Polish individual, like a feudal lord. He was a feudal lord. His son is known in Jewish history as? The Graf, or Count Potocki. He converted and he became a Jew. This famous Count Potocki, where my son went and he took a picture and he said, did you ever hear this? I couldn't believe that you could go see it today. His son became a Jew. And the Rav says, I was at his grave in Vilna. Now they have destroyed his grave. So what happened? He was sent to one of the famous universities in Italy, this Graf Potocki, the son of the famous aristocrat. It was customary for the Polish aristocracy to send their children to Italy. He became acquainted with Jews in Italy. We don't know what happened. He abandoned Catholicism, this Count Potocki's son. He embraced Judaism. He became a pious Jew. The conversion to Judaism was prohibited in Italy. He went to Holland, where you were allowed to convert. Had he remained in Holland, perhaps he would have lived longer. But listen. The Graf, it seems, became lonely. And he wanted to return to Lithuania, his homeland. So he came to Vilna. He was afraid to remain in Vilna. He might be recognized because in Poland, conversion to Judaism was a capital crime. So he traveled to a small town called Ilya, near Vilna, where he studied. The local Jews discovered there's a Jewish man who sits in the base medrash all day studying, leading a saintly life, and they found out he was not born a Jew. Not only was he not born a Jew, they found out he was the son of the famous Count Potocki. I don't know what happened, says the Rav, but one time, it seems, this is how the story goes, a young boy was making noise. And the Graf, the Scared Tzedek, told the boy to be quiet. The boy's father was a shoemaker, and he said, you're not a Jew. And you told my son to be quiet. The father informed the police. It was a capital crime. The father went to the police and said, the son of Count Potocki is a practicing Jew. That was all that was necessary. As a matter of fact, he says, my uncle, we don't know which uncle, told me a certain family in Ilya was called the family of Moisrim, informers. There was a family known as informers. Their ancestors were the ones who informed the police all the way down, that they couldn't get away from the term of Moser. They gave him up. They arrested him, and they offered him his life if he would renounce Judaism and convert to Catholicism. Again, return. He would be restored to his former Groli. He resisted all pressure. He insisted on remaining a Jew. In spite of his birth, he was sentenced to death. He was executed on the second day of Shavuos in 1749 in the Cathedral Square in Vilna. After his execution, his body was cremated. The Jews were disguised. Jews dressed up as Poles, and they went to collect as much of his ashes as they could to bury his ashes. Okay, there's an additional story. And he heard this from his father, who heard it from Rav Chaim Brisker, who heard it from Rav Yashar Ber, the Beis Halevi, who heard it related in the name of Rav Chaim of Volozhiner, the father of modern-day yeshivas, the student of the Vilna Gaon. The night before the execution, the Vilna Gaon visited the Ger Tzedek. On the graph, the Ger Tzedek began to cry. So the Vilna Gaon said, why are you crying? Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai in his death, but it was also crying. His Talmidim says, why are you crying? So why are you crying? Brachos 28. Why is he afraid of death and torture? So the Ger Tzedek, listen, he's afraid of one thing. He will be lonely in the world to come. His family is not Jewish. The only Jew in his family, he never married, he was a young man, he would be a stranger. Halachically speaking, he's completely fatherless. The relationship between father and son, between individual and family, is completely abandoned. Since he was still single upon execution, he would be lonely in the next world. So the Vilna Gaon quoted the Pasuk, so says Hashem, I am first, ani rishon, v'ani acharon, and I am last, and milvaladai ein elokim. Besides me, there is no God. And the Gaon said as follows, I am the first to the one who has no father. I am the last to the one who has no son. I am the father to everyone who has no father. I am father to everyone who is lonely. And I am the son to everyone, to you who dies without a son. This is the promise of the Almighty. And the Ger Tzedek explained to the Gaon, Nechamtani, you have comforted me, you have comforted me. The Gaon left the prison. What was he crying about? The ultimate aloneness. He was afraid he would be alone in the next world. And what did the Vilna Gaon tell him? Ani Rishon, Vani Acharon. I feel, this is very similar to what my friend told me. Very deep, powerful, moving, impactful, Admeva Asram Shana, we shouldn't know before, insight. That there's a void And the graph was afraid that that void would not be filled. I have no people to fill my void. Vilna Gaon said, don't be afraid. Hashem is first, Hashem is last. The makom fills the void. And he was executed on the second day of Shavuos, 1749.
I think the Vilna Gaon was buried near him.
Pardon?
The Vilna Gaon's grave is near
where Count Potocki was buried? Wow.
Yeah,
the graph, the Geret Sada. Were you there?
I was at the palace.
So my son also was at the palace. Okay, let's just finish a sentence. Every taint of loneliness must be used to instill in the soul a greater recognition. The purpose of it all is to feel the Creator. It ties into exactly what we're talking about tonight, all the sources and insights we brought. He will fill the emptiness. No, but Ezra Hashem, we should be zocha to have the clarity to utilize the loneliness, to appreciate what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us, and make sure we always fill it with useful matters, halavai, I'm talking to myself, halavai, so that through our aloneness, we can come to connection. Amen. And I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos with our insight that we shared tonight. Any questions or comments? Okay, thank you so much, ladies.